Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and happy Ascension Day. What a glorious day, and to celebrate the reality of what Jesus has accomplished for us and the unfolding, this the staggering beauty and reality of the Father's great plan. And it's the crowning moment when Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father after telling the apostles, after meeting with them, and the account is in Acts chapter 1, and he says some very precious things to them that are so important for us to be able to take to heart as well. I'm just going to read part of it, but I think I'll just read the whole section from the beginning of Acts chapter 1 to be able to hear the words of our Lord. It says, in the first book, this chapter 1 of the Acts of the Apostles, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he had given a commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. This is Luke, same writer of Luke's gospel. And he was taken up, that's by the ascension, he was taken up into the heaven to the right hand of the Father. And all he had given to them by commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles who he had chosen. Then he says to them, he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to establish the kingdom, a kingdom that will never end. There was a kingdom on this earth before Jesus came to bring the kingdom. That was the kingdom of darkness, a satanic kingdom, a kingdom living in rebellion against God and had slaved a race of people, seduced and deceived and enslaved a race of people to collude with him to resist God and God's kingdom. And Jesus becomes one of us and takes on human flesh to bring about and to turn a human heart, his heart, the heart he received from Our Lady and the blood that flowed through his veins. And Jesus of Nazareth, King of kings and Lord of lords, he comes to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And he breaks the power of the kingdom of darkness on the cross through his death and resurrection. And he breaks the power of sin that had the hold over the human race through the shedding of his blood. So here Luke goes on to say in verse 4, he said, and while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Luke gives that as well. He says at the end of the gospel, toward the end of the gospel of Luke, there's a resurrection appearance of Jesus to the apostles. And he said, you will be clothed with power from on high. You've witnessed now my resurrection. And you'll go forth and bear witness, and you'll preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to the world. And I will clothe you with power from on high. But first, wait. And they'll have to wait till they are clothed with power by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus then says, wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the anointing that's on Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit, which he said, you heard from me, this is Jesus now, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus came to do, to plunge, to immerse, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to unite human flesh, human beings, to the very life of God that Jesus has made possible for us to access. Jesus is going to pour out that gift, that promise. He'll go on to say later, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. This doesn't happen until Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Catechism says some beautiful things about the ascension we can touch on today from paragraph 659. It says, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Christ's body was glorified at the moment of his resurrection, as proved by the new and supernatural properties it subsequently and permanently enjoys. But during the 40 days when he eats and drinks familiarly with the disciples and teaches them about the kingdom, his glory remains veiled and under the appearance of ordinary humanity. Jesus' final apparition ends with the irreversible entry of his humanity into divine glory. Wow. That's what we're celebrating today. And we celebrate it not just like, yay, Jesus. I mean, that's really one of the fundamental things we're doing. We're remembering and rejoicing with Jesus. But the even deeper joy he wants us to grasp is the mystery of the Father's plan, that when the humanity of Jesus entered into divine glory, that was the down payment. That was the beginning of the new creation. That was the beginning of what he was going to produce in all those who are baptized into him and share his life, who come to follow him as his disciples. That's just astounding. Let me read this again. Jesus' final apparition ends with the irreversible entry of his humanity into divine glory, symbolized by the cloud and by heaven, where he is seated from that time forward to God's right hand. Only in a wholly exceptional and unique way would Jesus show himself to Paul as to one untimely born when Paul was on the road to Damascus. In paragraph 661, the final stage stays closely linked to the first, that is, his descent from heaven in the incarnation. Only the one who came from the Father, quoting Jesus, can return to the Father, Christ Jesus. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Left to its own natural powers, humanity does not have access to the Father's house, to God's life and God's happiness. Friends, this is why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Buddha, Muhammad, whatever guru, New Age idea, concept people may have, that these are all pathways to the same destiny, not true. They can help, but none of them in themselves is salvific. What does that mean? None of them have the power through their teaching, through the life, to be able to give access to the Father's house, to God's life and to God's happiness. The Catechism goes on here. It says, the next line, only Christ can open to man such access that we, his members, might have confidence that we too shall go where he, our head and our source, has preceded. So we just have to settle that issue in our hearts. It's a good way to love the Lord, to just receive it. He's the only Savior of the world. St. Peter declared it, Acts chapter 4. It's all throughout the New Testament. The understanding is there, the teaching of the church, the saints. There's not many saviors. There's one. There's one Lord. There's one Jesus Christ. There's one Savior of the world. Paragraph 662, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. The lifting up of Jesus on the cross signifies and announces his lifting up by his ascension into heaven, and indeed it begins. It begins it. Jesus Christ, the one priest of the new covenant, an eternal covenant, entered not into the sanctuary made by human hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. I don't want to miss this. The point here is so beautiful, that Jesus is lifting up. His ascension actually begins in some way on the cross. He said, because if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So that offering of himself and him being lifted up and his sacrifice, this is why, friends, we celebrate it every day in the Eucharist, especially as a community of people, a full community of people on Sundays. What's represented is the lifting up. And what enables human beings to be lifted up is the lifting up of Jesus and what happened on the cross. The shedding of his blood, the cleansing us of sin, the offering of his perfect love, fulfilling the number one commandment, both commandments at the same time. Love God, love neighbor. He loved the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he redirected the human heart. He redirected human beings. He made a way, and he's saying, follow me. Let me lift you up into the heart of the Father. Turn, repent, come to me. And so we're caught up in that lifting, and the lifting begins on the cross, but it leads all the way through from death to life, his resurrection, and now his ascension to the right hand of the Father. It says, there Christ permanently exercises his priesthood, for he always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. As high priest of the good things to come, quoting Hebrews, I believe, he is the center and the principal actor of the liturgy that honors the Father in heaven. So Jesus is what? He's talking, what's the liturgy? The liturgy that we celebrate on earth is a participation in the liturgy of heaven. The liturgy, the celebration, the thanksgiving, the offering that Jesus is making through all eternity. He's presenting to the Father his wounds through which he destroyed all the works of darkness and established the kingdom in its unstoppable, indestructible. It's Jesus, the Lamb of God, and he did it through humility to break the pride of Satan and the human race. He bowed down, he humbled himself, he became obedient unto death. Thanks be to God and the Father. Then Philippians 2 says, for that reason, the Father highly exalted him and has given him the name above every other name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's actually described now in paragraph 663, the next paragraph. Henceforth, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. By the Father's right hand, we understand the glory and honor of divinity, where he who exists as Son of God before all ages, indeed as God, of one being with the Father, is seated bodily. After he became incarnate, his flesh was glorified. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And this clarifies something. Jesus, the one who was raised, is the eternally begotten Son of God. He's divine. He's not somewhere in between God, the Father, and human beings. He's not like a demigod. He's not a superhuman. He is God himself. God is a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God sent forth his eternally begotten Son into the earth for the sake of our salvation. He's one in being with the Father, as this paragraph reminds us, and of course the Creed articulates so clearly and so beautifully. And his flesh was glorified. What's at stake, friends, is the issue. Will your flesh be glorified or not? Will you enter the kingdom or not? Your destiny is to be clothed in glory and to share what belongs to Jesus, to share in the glory that he has, the majesty and the full life in the Spirit, a supernatural, eternal life of absolute joy and love. That's what's at stake in this world. And Jesus makes it clear. Nobody just inherits it. Nobody just gets it. It requires repentance and seeking God. That's responding to the grace that the Lord wants to give us supernatural faith, hope, and love, to enter the waters of baptism, to become a new creation, and to walk it out through the life that the Lord has given to us through all eternity. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've accomplished. We celebrate today your victory. This is the victory above all other victories. All of the crowns of all the other kings will be thrown at your feet. Nothing compares to you, to what you've done, and what you've done for us, what you've given to us. Lord, I pray for everyone who's listening today. I pray that all of us would today bend our knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And maybe for the first time, maybe for the 10,000th time, to declare our allegiance to you as Lord, to turn from sin, and to say yes to you, and to walk in your footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.